You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I can't do a Speak Free show without getting on the phone and calling in my mate, Bruce, from Maryland there in the United States. Bruce, good morning.
Well, good day from the USA. It's hello, it's good to be with you. Good to be with you, Simon.
Well, thanks for still taking the call and getting lovely feedback still, which should be no surprise, on your contributions. People are loving not only the insights you're giving us into the United States, but they're loving your accent, which is a marvelous, marvelous thing. But accents, jokes, and humor aside, the States is actually, well, particularly the Southeast, has been hit pretty hard recently with that Cyclone Helene. Just talk us through what's been happening there.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful, awful. Thank you. As a good actor, I always like a good review. to be serious now, the scope of disaster is just, they're still trying to determine what happened or how badly they were hit. To give you a little bit of a definition, it came in through the Gulf of Mexico, increased strength and became a Category 4. And I looked it up. It was 100 kilometers. Oh, darn it, I had it. But anyway, it was 100 miles an hour, which is what is your kilometers. And it went up through, went up through Florida. With an upper panhandle of Florida, where they call it the upper bend, then through Georgia, South Carolina, and then parked itself in North Carolina, which is a mountainous area. And it left a swath of damage over 500 miles long. That's 804 kilometers of devastation. There's people, cemeteries, have been flooded and caskets are floating. Whole villages are gone. It's not like the house off the pad. The pad's gone, and even the dirt under the pad is gone, just washed away. And none of these people, being a mountainous area, none of these people would have flood insurance. You know, why would you need it? So it's truly a horrendous thing. And they're still surveying the damage, trying to find out who's missing, who's not. Trump went in, and he brought lots of help. That's it. Cut for 100 miles an hour is 160 kilometers an hour.
Oh, thank you. I've been trying to do the math as we're speaking. I'm absolutely hopeless of converting into kilometers and miles. I'm okay with Fahrenheit to Celsius.
It's 160 kilometers an hour, and it dumped 2 feet of rain, which is about half a meter of rain in about 30 hours.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
Wiped out their entire infrastructure, the roads, the hospitals, they're all gone.
Oh, it's phenomenal. As you say, a category four. I've been through a category 3 when I lived in the islands, and that was pretty dramatic, let alone what you're describing. So, I mean, horrendous loss of life and damage. So you mentioned Trump. I know Biden and Harris are going up. Is this turning into something political at this point?
Well, the Democrats always say never let a good disaster go to waste. But this, it's more just humanity, helping humanity. They've got what are they calling them? The swamp saviors. All these people with helicopters. People are coming in with mules so they can get to the up these mountains with supplies. Elon Musk. He brought in his Starlink so they could set up satellite communication. Private helicopters, mules. I'm looking through my notes as I talk to you.
Clearly something terrible's happened, but at the same time, you seem to be describing sort of the best of the American spirit. People are mucking in, and as we would say here, and doing all they can to help out.
Oh, when it's worst is when America is our best. We come to the aid of our friend. We don't say, you know, who'd you vote for in the last election or anything. It's, no, they're... people really, really rally in a time of disaster, and this is a disaster. So even there's folks coming up and down the East Coast, bringing in, just volunteering, hey, I got a big trailer, you know, let's fill it. Owners of helicopters, private helicopters, are coming in and doing airdrops. So it's wonderful.
Well, turning from obviously something that's been pretty tragic to in recent days, we've had, well, to the political, we've had the VP or the vice presidential debate. So we've had, is it Tim Walz and JD Vance? What's your take on how that went? Because it all looked rather civilized to me, certainly in comparison to the presidential debates.
It was extremely civilized. It's a great, with a lot of great nuance, and they took a lot of good questions. Yeah, but it's a vice presidential candidate debate. So will it move the needle? Probably not. Vance, I think overall, I thought it was kind of a tie, but the media that I listened to was, you know, a little more right of the aisle, say that Vance, hands down, he did a masterclass job of sticking to the issues, pointing out problems, just truly very agreeable and likable. Whereas Walz, he is kind of a deer in the headlight. He knows Minnesota, but he doesn't know anything other than Minnesota. So
that's what surprised me watching it, because my own sense, for what it's worth, was Vance, well, kept to his lines. Says me as a former politician, you go in with your lines. You don't worry what the questions are. You have your lines. But he did look more confident. I suppose he's got more experience. But I was surprised about Walz, because when I've seen him before, he's always come across as not only affable but relaxed, but he did very much look like a deer in the headlights.
He did. Well, I mean, he's had his share of, you know, being out there with his, you know, he's been governor of Minnesota, he's been in Congress, in National Guard, but yeah, he was looking down. They're saying that Vance used the fourth wall. He broke the fourth wall. Women say he's got gorgeous blue eyes, and he just kind of glanced at the screen when Walz was talking, going, "Really?" it was nicely done.
I'll say for the record, I have not noticed his eyes. I don't seem to be looking into his eyes that closely.
I'm not that kind of boy.
Is there any commentary around the moderators? Because they, I was just struck when they muted his microphone. And it's sort of, for me, you know, I'll give my bias here, Bruce, but I'm very nervous about anyone who claims to be a fact checker, or they're going to verify, or in this case, a moderator who says, no, I'm not letting you speak. I thought it was pretty bad. Is there much commentary around that?
Yes. Naturally, the legacy media, the CBS, got in the way. They wanted to be just let the candidates be the candidates. And they started fact-checking. And Vance, in his just amiable, brilliant way, was able to stop, say, no, this is our agreement. You said you weren't going to fact-check me. And since we're going to do this, it was based on that they're eating the animals in Springfield, Ohio. And
they're eating the dogs.
Right. Turned out to be a wild goose chase. But anyway, Harris was talking about the Haitian refugees who were coming in and the visa, and he knew chapter verse and was quoting it, and she cut him off. And folks said, "No, that's not right."
It doesn't sit comfortably, does it? Let them hoist themselves on their own petard.
Yeah. Oh, they've been scolded for it.
Good.
You know, lopsided questions. What are you going to do? The two, I'm getting back to the two. Vance is just so head and shoulders more intelligent. As they say in Boston, remember, they said the guy's wicked smart. Yale Law School, military. He's a award-winning writer with the Hillbilly Elegy. the senator, he just ran circles around Walz last night. And
that was certainly my take.
He went the trip to China. It really messed up that question. You know, did he go 15 times? Did he get 30 times? Was he there at Tiananmen Square? And it was like, oopsie, my bad. I'm a knucklehead. The vice president candidate says that? No. What was the other?
Yeah, well, these are the sort of moments for a politician that if you don't have your story tight, then people will ask more questions. Hey, I'll have to jump from the debate because I think you're right. It was really interesting, but whether it moves the overall dial. But last really quick thing before I'll have to move on is there's a big strike about to happen or happening.
It is. It was and is. The dock workers, I've always used to call them the longshoremen. It's the folks who, all that cargo that comes in from Asia and all points from the oceans, those big cargo things, the guys who run that machinery are on strike up and down the East Coast, from Florida, Charleston, up into Baltimore, Boston, and that's Christmas. All those ships are full of EVs and cars and toys and electronics, and it's just not going to make it in. And it's going to cost, they're saying $100 billion a day in lost revenue, which is going to really mess up supply lines. And how are you guys involved? Now you're on the other end as well. Will you be affected?
Yeah, we will in time. I mean, certainly post COVID, we don't have as much frequent marine traffic or as we used to. So we're already sort of at the bottom of the world. And so this will undoubtedly impact us. excuse me. Having an injudicious cough. It's going to impact us big time. And so that's, one of the reasons for you to talk into it, actually, just for people to be aware, because, if we're ordering things from the States, probably most is going to come from the West Coast, but it will still have a disruptive... Yeah. Is this going to have a political... I can always come back to that, but, I mean, this must be really bad timing for Kamala and the Democrats in particular.
Yeah, it hasn't affected anybody yet. It's just happened. We're fresh into it. They're probably negotiating like crazy, but nobody's really paying attention.
Until those Christmas presents don't turn up.
Exactly. Oh, I heard a joke about Vance and Walz the other day. It's J.D. Vance is the guy who mows your lawn when you break your leg. Tim Walz is the guy who reports you to the HOA for the overgrown lawn. something to think about.
Oh, that's a great way to end it. Hey, well, Bruce, you're an absolute legend. Thanks for coming on and talking us through everything. And look, our thoughts certainly with those affected by the cyclone. It sounds like a terrible situation.
Oh, it is horrible. It is a pleasure, though, for our visits. And we'll talk to you next week. And have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.